Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators, a podcast with marketing and business tips and strategy specifically for freelance translators and interpreters. I'm your host, Tess Whitty, a longtime freelance translator with an education and professional background in marketing. Tune in to hear tips from my own experience or from other translators and industry experts. First, a quick word from our sponsor. Are you still using your inbox to manage your translation jobs? Or are you still doing all of your accounting from Excel? Or manually creating all your financial reports? Let me tell you about another way. LSP Expert is a client management, project management, and accounting tool for translators. It's developed by translators and it's for translators. You can create and send quotes, manage your rates and services for each client, manage projects and send invoices all from one place. This tool automatically creates financial reports for you, so you'll always know the health of your business. This is one of my favorite features. Ready to stop wasting time on admin and start spending more time on translating? Then I recommend you check out LSP Expert. You can try it for free for 30 days. Just type lsp.expert in your preferred browser and use the code TESS15 for a 15% discount on a new yearly subscription after you've tried it out. That's TESS15, TESS15. Take control of your translation business admin today and go check out lsp.expert. Hello and welcome to another episode of Marketing Tips for Translators. Today, I want to talk about another area of specialization within the translation industry, and that is transcreation. I want to talk about how we can specialize in transcreation and also how to market transcreation services. This is an increasing, the demand is increasing for transcreations. And personally, I think that if we want to compete with machine translation, we have to focus on areas where human translators really, really are needed. And transcreation is one of these areas. And it's part of it's a combination of copywriting and translation. You take the original voice of a company in their marketing materials, and then you express it to a foreign audience or your target audience, which a transcreator is usually familiar with the target audience. With me today, I have a transcreator and a popular speaker and author on the topic of transcreation. Based on her combined expertise from the translation and marketing worlds, my interviewee has become a well-known transcreator and gives presentations and seminars and workshops for various industry associations and international companies. She also works as a consultant and coach for freelance translators who want to become a transcreator or get a better positioning on the market. So let's welcome Nina Sattler-Havdar to the podcast.
Thank you, Tess. Lovely to be here.
It's or a to pleasure speak to you. Now, before we get started, tell me about your Norwegian connection, because I'm Swedish, so I'm curious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I grew up bilingually in two countries. So went to school both in Norway and in Austria. I have a Norwegian father and an Austrian mother. So I grew up with two languages, Norwegian and German. Okay. So that's basically my Norwegian connection.
So we could speak Swedish and Norwegian to each other then.
We could, yes. Yeah, but usually works well if we don't speak too fast.
Okay. But that was just a little tidbit. Tell us about yourself and your career in the translation or transcreation industry.
Yes, wow. Like I said, I grew up bilingually, and I'm also like many translators, I think. And I'm also classically trained in translation and interpreting. I have a master's degree. Mm-hmm. In interpreting. I'm a professionally trained simultaneous interpreter, a conference interpreter. And just to give you a bit of background, when I had worked for about 2 years as a conference interpreter and had become established, I was like 25 years old and thought, wow, I need to venture out in the world a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And moved to South America at the time. So I worked in South and Central America and the U.S. Caribbean for a couple of years, but not in translation, mm-hmm. but in market research and in marketing. So working with local and international blue chip corporations, advertising agencies, public relation companies, and so forth. And I really, really loved that.
That's quite a jump from translation. How did that happen?
Well, like so many things, it's sort of like coincidences in life that, mm-hmm. or opportunities that you have to grab when they yes. present themselves. Because I went to South America, but I didn't speak a word of Spanish. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem when you live in Venezuela at the time, because this was pre-internet times, and working as an interpreter with a language that you don't speak is sort of not possible.
And so did you go to Venezuela for vacation, or did you know?
I actually had met a guy.
I so, see. Okay.
So it was a love story. Uh-huh. Right. Yes. He worked in Venezuela at the time. He's Austrian, by the way, but he worked in Venezuela at the time. And I just thought, wow, this is an opportunity that is never going to present itself ever again, and I'm young, so let's do this. But it was hard, of course, in the beginning, because I didn't speak a word of Spanish, so I had to learn Spanish first, because mm-hmm. there's no way you can work in any position, in any executive position there, without speaking Spanish. Mm-hmm. So I learned it quite fast, and there was a local market research company, one of the biggest in South America at the time, that was on the lookout for international executives, and they said they weren't interested in hiring like people who had studied social studies or mathematics. They just wanted people who were able to work analytically. Mm-hmm. And I think as translators, as trained translators, we have a very analytical mind, and well, it worked out fine. It worked out great. So it turns out that the boss there who hired me had a very good instinct. And I learned a lot about statistics, of course, and consumer mm-hmm. research. And it was a fascinating area. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and when it...
Uh-huh. But you didn't stay. What happened then?
No, right. After a couple of years moving about in South and Central America and in the U.S. Caribbean, we moved back to Europe, to Germany, to Frankfurt, actually. And I had a little boy at the time and decided I'm going to work home-based, and like many translators, and decided to combine that expertise that I had from marketing and translation, offering translations for marketing purposes. And I noticed, and that was around end of 90s, beginning of 2000, and noticed there was huge demand, and that then became an expertise that at first I called it translators hired as copywriters. And that was in fact my very first presentation that I did on the topic, which was in 2006 in New Orleans for the American Translators Association. Mm-hmm. That was actually the name of the presentation, the title of the presentation, Translators Hired as Copywriters. Mm-hmm. And at some point, it's a shame, but I don't know who or what really gave me the idea that this, to call this transcreation, I think somebody or something got to me and told me, well, what you're offering is actually what is generally called transcreation. So I sort of took that as the term of art and continued with that instead of, but basically that's what, like you said in the beginning, transcreation is basically exactly that. It's a combination of translation and copywriting expertise. Mm-hmm.
But did you always work as a like with marketing, translating marketing material or transcreating marketing material, or did you start as a regular translator?
Yes. Yes, indeed. I started like in the beginning, I was a conference interpreter, but in the beginning, nobody can live on conference interpreting alone. So I did a lot of, I basically worked as a translator doing legal contracts and that kind of thing and economics. And I still work as a translator. I don't mm-hmm. transcreate exclusively because by definition, I am a translator and a transcreator. And mm-hmm. so I enjoy sort of switching back and forth sometimes, mm-hmm. You know, really translating a legal agreement or a financial report, and sometimes being very taking a different approach, working more intensely with the client, which mm-hmm. is the case in transcreation.
Yes, yes. Okay. Now, for us, we've already talked about the definition, but perhaps we missed something. For the listeners who don't work with transcreation yet, tell us really what it is and how it differs from translation.
Yeah, like I say, that said in a nutshell, transcreation is a combination of translation and creation of new messages. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the explanation of trans and creation. Basically, it's the classic translation part, and it's the classic copywriting that is done by professional copywriters who write sales and marketing copy for sales and marketing purposes. So what's the difference? This is one of the most frequent questions that I get. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between translation and transcreation? So in my presentations, I often show three different types of texts, and one that is sort of a typical translation in a particular field, like a medical report, a technical manual, a request for proposal, that kind of thing. A text that is informative in nature, where the reader mm-hmm. wants to know exactly what that contract or report or whatever says in all its details. And that to me is translation, you know, conveying every nuance in a way that the reader knows exactly what the source text says. I'm not saying word for word, but conveying the nuances in a way so the reader knows exactly what the source text says. Because when you have a legal agreement, the reader is not interested in having an adapted version. It wants to know exactly what does that legal agreement say in the source language. Mm-hmm. And then I generally show two more types of text, like one more persuasive in nature, corporate communication, crisis communication, CEO communication, press releases, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. One that's the classic advertising, the infamous 10 words, a campaign headline, a tagline, mm-hmm. whatever. So for those two, you would apply a transcreative approach. For the persuasive ones, you would still translate mm-hmm. and adapt. Mm-hmm. And in the obviously for a tagline, you wouldn't even translate. You would sit right down and talk with the client and find out where he or she wants to go. So mm-hmm. that is basically the big difference between translation and transcreation. The translation is informative, like you would say, you would tell your client, this is exactly what the source text says, mm-hmm. whereas transcreation is motivational. It needs to draw the reader in and motivate them and get their attention. And I would tell my client, this is how I could make your message work. I don't say, this is what the source text says. I say, this is how I could make it work for you mm-hmm. in Germany or wherever. Mm-hmm. And so in a nutshell, so I said translation is true to the source.
Yeah.
Transcreation is true to the brief.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't mentioned the brief yet, but the brief is like as you know, is the cornerstone to any copywriting work, because you need to know exactly where the client wants to go, what the client wants to achieve. And sometimes you can stay closer to the source text. Sometimes you may have to go to take, you know, recreate it to text entirely. And for that, you need to be very, very clear where the client wants to go. So you need the classic brief that any copywriter would have. I think that is something that's unusual and unfamiliar to most translators.
Yes. So I wanted to point out that another difference is, of course, then the whole process of how you go about creating the new message, and the involvement with the client is so much more intense in a transcreation project, whereas in the marketing translation, you can work more independently, right?
Yes, yes, right. In translation, it's more like I need to crack the code. I need to sort of find out and analyze what exactly is it that the author is saying. I'm staying true to the author, whereas in transcreation, the author is usually, to put it bluntly, the author is irrelevant, is not relevant at all. It's only the message that counts. And in order to be able to create exactly that message that the client needs, you need to sit down and ask the pertinent questions. I mean, who is going to read it? Who do you want to reach? What kind of response do you want to elicit? What is the reader supposed to do? Click on a button, ask for more information, purchase, whatever. And what kind of tone of voice do you want this copy to have?
Mm-hmm.
How much liberties am I allowed to take? And it's also like the brief beforehand, and it's also afterwards that maybe you said, okay, this is a first draft. What do you think? Are we going in the right direction, or should we tweak a little bit more here and there? So it's a more back and forth, mm-hmm. and it's a lot more client involvement. Clients are usually surprised too, because they think, oh, I have got this copy in English. Why do I need to mm-hmm. go through the entire process once more? Mm-hmm. But that's just it. But it makes such a big difference in it for the end, for the final result.
So these questions that you mentioned, they are part of a transcreation brief. Tell us a little bit more about the brief, because we have to many times educate the client on
yes.
the whole process.
Yes, right. So no client, very few clients will actually come forward and say, oh, here, I have got a brief for you. So As a translator, I need to educate the client and say, "Mom, I need to work like the you work with the copywriter in the source language. I also need that same brief that you gave that person mm-hmm. or that agency, and I also need to discuss maybe adaptations that we need to make for the target market, because the target audience might be different. The mm-hmm. target culture is different,
mm-hmm.
And so." Sometimes, you know, you can do it over the phone or do a Zoom meeting and discuss these points, because every project is different. So I've created a model for a transcreative brief that I'm also that is also included in my book,
mm-hmm.
And people can use that and adapt it as needed. Sometimes when you work with a client. When you have worked with a client for years, you usually know where they want to go. You know the product well. You know everything. You know how they speak, what their jargon is. But so you may only need like two or three key data. Like this is a campaign that's addressing that and that audience, or this is a new product that we're going to launch, and these are the key characteristics of that product. And I don't need much more, because I know the tone of voice they want. But otherwise, you need to sit down, ask those questions, and put that in writing. send it to the client, have the client sign off on that, because that is what we are going to be held to afterwards.
How many times are you contacted by a new client saying, we need this marketing campaign or marketing material translated into German? How many times do you have to go back and say, and actually educate them and say, no, you don't need a translation, you need a transcreation, and this is what we need to do?
Like every time. Every client. I've never met a client who's even agency, I mean, language service companies, I have educated so many. I've never had a case where someone came forward but on first contact and said, we need a transcreation. Or sometimes they might even say, we need a transcreation, but they still don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. They say, like, they are sort of aware it needs to be treated differently, but they still think in terms of, you know, translation for marketing purposes. They still think it's the same process. And so I need to explain that the process involves all these preparatory steps, the brief and the client input even afterwards. And it's also normal that when you deliver something, that when you deliver a target text, that a client might come back to you and say, or I even ask the client, would you like anything changed? Or I'm not quite happy here, I'm not quite sure here, should we adapt it a little bit more? Mm-hmm. So it's also, even afterwards, it's a bit back and forth. But that's totally no, translators are surprised because that usually doesn't happen in the translation world. Yeah. But it's totally standard procedure for any professional copywriter.
Yeah. So, but how many times then do clients say, oh, because this requires a totally different budget. Mm-hmm. So you must be really good at convincing them about that. To not have the client say, oh, no, well, I'm just going to go somewhere else then and use a translation.
Oh, yeah. Well, that happens a lot, Tess, clients say. Okay. I must say. But I'm like, okay, if you think that, you know, that's not within your budget, then please go somewhere else. And I'm like, no problem, but if you at some point realize you'll need my services, I'm going to be here for you, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but actually I have regular clients and I'm fully booked all the time, so it's not like I'm able to take on any new clients even.
Yeah, but those clients that you do have, you've been able to convince that this is actually what they need.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
but it's always been a process. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, within a company you may have various departments and or various contact people, and you have to sort of educate each one of them until you get them to understand.
Mm-hmm. And I know you explain this and you have lots of examples in your book. We haven't even talked about your book much, but you have a book on transcreation. It's called Get Fit for the Future of Transcreation.
Yes.
A handbook on how to succeed in an undervalued market. Uh-huh. Just the title summarizes the dilemma we've been talking about.
Right. But
you have a lot of examples in the book on basically conversations or emails back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On this. So. I thought that might be helpful because they are classic.
Yes.
Situation. I'm sure you have been.
They are. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So who can actually not, transcreation is not for every translator then. Who can work as a transcreator, or how can we become a transcreator?
Well, first of all, you need to, any translator who would like to work as a transcreator should take a copywriting training. Because that is, many translators also who have been to my presentations or workshops say that, well, I thought that, you know, I was a good writer, and being a good writer is of course a good thing to have to start with, but copywriting for marketing purposes, there's so much more to it. How do I write a really captivating headline, for instance? Yeah. How do I draw my audience in? How do I do my research? And there's a lot of things that come in addition to being just a good writer. So copywriting for marketing purposes is not the same thing as academic writing or literary writing. Mm-hmm. That's a point I often need to make. So I usually recommend that they take a copywriting course, and most countries, I would think, have associations, marketing associations or copywriter associations in their countries. So I would recommend that they research websites and contact these associations or mm-hmm. and ask, can you recommend a copywriting course that I can take? And many offer like distance learning, especially in these times, they offer yes. distance learning in professional copywriting. So that is definitely something they should do. And I think when they do that course and realize, wow, this is me, then go for it. And mm-hmm. they might realize that maybe this isn't exactly what I want. And so maybe this transcription isn't for them. What they also need to bring to the table is that willingness and just interest to actually communicate with their clients and being a consultant to the client and take mm-hmm. them along the journey, as we say. That is also something. So if you are a very timid person, that may not be for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying
it's preclusive. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you gave a lot of examples of emails in the book, but I'm assuming that you also talk to them on the phone a lot, right?
To fellow translators?
Clients.
Or to clients, yes. Well, basically, I say the same thing that I was saying now, that I put in writing in emails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That was sort of a tangent. You were talking about how we can become a transcreator.
Mm-hmm.
So take copywriting course and be interested in communicating with the clients. And
right, yeah. Right, right. This is like basic prerequisites. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been eyeing a copywriting course for a long, long time. And since I'm not living in my target country, I have not been able to do it for a long time. I've taken all sorts of writing courses and writing for the web and marketing writing and stuff. But now in January, I will finally be able to do a copywriting course in Swedish.
Oh, wow. Good for
because
you.
Because it's remote now.
Mm-hmm. So, exactly. Yeah. And maybe formerly it wasn't that easy to do these courses remotely, but nowadays, I mean, with the situation that we have, it's I think most, if not all, offer online courses.
Yes, I think that's the benefit of the pandemic is that.
Right.
So a lot of the times, the copywriting courses have required 2 to 3 live meetings at least.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But now they're totally online. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this already. Do you have anything else to say? Because transcreation is in high demand. It will become even more important with the globalization and everything, all the selling online. Mm-hmm. Especially makes it grow. How can we educate our clients about the demand or the need for transcreation? Do you have anything else to say that we haven't talked about?
Not quite sure what to add here. I mean,
yeah.
What clients sometimes underestimate is that in the target market, they want to read something that they feel has been written specifically for them. So a German consumer wants, or a German business, because we are also talking about business to business communication, they want to have that feeling that, wow, here is a company who really understands me and my needs. It's not like some foreign American or whatever outfit who sort of has a half-assed take on what I need here. But I feel someone is actually speaking to me and understanding what I need. And that makes such a big difference for the salespeople. Mm-hmm. And I've wrote about it in my book that I've worked with salespeople directly who have said that, wow, this is the first time that they actually have a brochure in their hands that they can really use, because the salespeople are the ones that you want to talk to for sales material, because they are the people who are going to use the material. They go to the fairs and they talk to the clients, to the prospects, and so they need good material to support their efforts. Yeah. And if that marketing material isn't helpful to them, they won't use it. So it's lost money if you just have it translated in a way that's, if it's just a translation but doesn't really speak to the target market. Yeah. So that's sort of the way I go about explaining.
Would you say that you can be first talking to somebody else, like in the marketing department or whoever you're first in touch with regarding a translation or transcreation, but then ask to be talking to the salespeople directly?
Yes. Exactly. That's what I've done on various occasions. And people, they would be surprised, like, yeah, but we don't want you to speak to the product manager or whatever. It's like, yeah, I'm fine. I can speak to the product manager, sure. But I really want to speak to the people who are actually in touch with the target consumers, with the target clients, because they can give me so much insight. Because I will ask questions like, oh, when people come to your stand at the fair, what questions do they ask? What is it that they are looking for? And why do they come to you? Why would they decide to buy your product versus that at the next stand, etc.? These kinds of questions, and that's invaluable input that you get straight from the horse's mouth, basically.
Yes.
So that's an approach I suggest, and salespeople are very interested in getting material that's really helpful. So, well, in my cases, they have always been interested.
So all this work demands, of course, a higher rate or a different kind of pricing entirely from translation.
Yes.
Do you have any tips on how you price your services or on rate negotiation when it comes to these transcreation projects?
Well, obviously, never by the word.
Yes.
Never. Never, ever. Some people work with time-based arrangements, like on an hourly basis, which is fine, I guess. I prefer project prices because they are often a combination. What's the value to the company and the time I expect to spend on the project, including obviously time for the brief, doing the research, brainstorming, the creative sessions, the back and forth, etc. So, but once you have the experience, you get really good at estimating how much time you're going to need. And maybe sometimes the estimation is a bit on the low end, and maybe sometimes you spend less time than you actually estimated. But if it's a regular client, over time, it sort of balances out.
How much time do you spend on negotiating a price and sort of educating the client before you are actually hired to do the job then?
Basically, because I have the experience and, I have modules, I'm pretty fast at answering, at educating clients. And when I notice that they are they have reservations and they don't want to go for it. In my position, I just let them go and say, well, if you ever feel like, you know, I'm here, if you mm-hmm. feel like using my services at another time, if they say that they don't have the budget, I prefer to be understanding and say, sure, no problem. Mm-hmm. But please come back to me whenever you have the budget.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, I've seen colleagues who get angry at that, and emotions are totally out of place. Mm-hmm. You know, being professional about the whole thing. And maybe I could mention the track formula. Yes. That I use, that I'm also explaining in my book. So, yes. Which is an easy formula. It's nothing. It's not rocket science. But
that was my next question.
Oh, okay, good, good thinking. A track like TRACC. It's of course an acronym that plays to the track, the CK version, mm-hmm. making it clear to the client what this involves in a way that the client can follow, mm-hmm. sort of kind of thing. So track the T's for thank, the R's for say, I thank the client for thank you for your inquiry or mm-hmm. for your interest in my services. So this is the structure of an email, for instance, or even of in a telephone conversation. Mm-hmm. And the R is the reason. So I explain why it's not as easy as the client thought it would be. Mm-hmm. And A is the assistance, but I would like to help the client in this instance. And the next C is the cost. Mm-hmm. I prefer to give the client an idea of the cost right up front, mm-hmm. In order to avoid that I spend too much time on educating the client and then yes. realizing he hasn't got the budget anyway. Mm-hmm. And the last C is the call to action. I always close with some kind of call to action. Please get back to me by the end of business tomorrow so I can schedule this in for next week, or some kind of asking them for some feedback, or looking forward to your response or something like that. So that's basically it. So thank, reason, assistance, cost, and call to action. And it's an easy formula to apply if you have that. It goes like tuck, 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 and mm-hmm. you're done.
mm-hmm. Yes, I like the model in your book.
Mm-hmm, thanks.
But before we get to this first email, how do you market your transcreation services? Or how did you? I'm assuming that you don't really have to market much right now, perhaps, but how did you earlier?
Yes. I have a feeling that I never did much in the way of marketing, really, mm-hmm. but I guess I did. So what I did, and maybe that's not for everyone, but I think it's very important, and I think that's what you also do, Tess, is that you market yourself not by sending out lots of emails or cold calls or something like that, mm-hmm. but I have an advocate of networking among colleagues, mm-hmm. and actually helping colleagues. So mm-hmm. when I started off with mailing lists and just providing competent assistance, answering mm-hmm. questions in a competent way, people will notice what you do. And it's mm-hmm. like, and yeah. and because everything you do and say on the internet is a reflection of your competence. Mm-hmm. So I started putting myself out more when I realized that people thought my work was useful, mm-hmm. and started doing presentations and writing some articles and just getting known, because I think colleagues are the best source, are the best marketing you can do. Building a position, building a profile in the community. Getting to be that go-to person, a top-of-mind person, mm-hmm. in a specific niche. So when when someone asks, "What do you know?" You know, someone who does marketing material from English into German, and everyone would say, "Oh, that's Nina." So you want to be that sort of Nina person in your particular niche. Be the top of mind, build the top of mind presence. Because most of my clients have come to me either via my articles or via colleagues, having been referred to by colleagues. And some have also come to me because I'm listed in certain databases with my workshops, and they've noticed, okay, she's doing a workshop on this and that for this association, so she must be good.
Now, do you give workshops and write articles for your end clients or target clients too, or are you mostly talking about the workshops about trans creation in general for other translators?
Yes, basically. I mean, obviously one could do that, writing industry articles for other industry publications, which would be a good idea and which I've been planning to do for a long time, but I've sort of never gotten down to it. What I've done is basically everything I've done is within the community, within the translation or transcreation and cooperating community.
And
that's me.
And it seems to be working. And I actually received a referral from a new client yesterday from one of my, should I say, students or followers for a translation job.
I think the community is awesome. And a great source. And being that we are solo linguists, I mean, we don't need huge volumes. We just need good clients.
Yes, we only need a good few good ones. We don't need 100.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, so I talked about how to market transcreation services, and we talked about our industry and networking in the industry. Any other marketing strategy that works really well for you right now, or is that it?
I also have a website that comes with a book where I maintain a blog, but I don't really post very regularly, but like every month or so. But I make sure that the blog posts are professionally relevant, so I don't write about, you know, some well-being or feeling good about something, but I try to make a point of writing blogs that are really helpful and to the point and about transcreation, so staying on topic. What else? I'm doing about podcast.
Yes. You're on this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, I found out about you through the BP conference and also through the book that came highly recommended. And I have read the book and I love it.
It's
exactly what I want to focus more on. So with my marketing background and everything, this is just perfect for me. So tell us more about where we can find the book. I mean, it's on Amazon, right?
It is it's on Amazon. I mean, it's self-published. I wrote a German book, which was published by the German Translators Association. And for the English book, I decided to publish it myself. And so I did. I mean, not everyone is a fan of Amazon, and I share that view. I understand the reservations, but it's just so convenient for self-publishers. But I've been thinking about maybe using a different platform going forward. But I also have my own website, which is transcreationexperts.com, where the book can be bought as a PDF, can be downloaded directly from there.
Okay. And now, transcreation experts, is that several people or is it you?
It's basically me. It's basically me, and I partner with a couple of colleagues, and I partner with my husband, who is from the advertising industry originally. So he's obviously a great sparring partner for that kind of work.
Yes.
But it's basically me. Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for sharing all your great tips here and in the information and for educating us. I've enjoyed it a lot. So thank you, Nina.
Yeah, me too. Likewise.
And I hope, I'm pretty sure that all the listeners will also enjoy it, especially if they're interested in trans creation. And I will put all the links in the show notes, which can be found at marketingtipsfortranslators.com/268, episode 268. So go there, you will find the links and you can comment. We would, I think, Nina, this is true for you too. We would love to hear from you, listeners, what you thought about the episode, any other transcreation comments, questions, or insights.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, you can put them there. Companies increasingly recognize that transcreations can help them improve brand perceptions and sales, but many are unaware what transcreation really is and what it takes to do it well. And it's our passion and job then to educate them.
Mm-hmm. So exactly.
Thank you to the listeners again. Like I said, we would love to hear from you. Before we go, a quick shout out to one of our listeners who took the time to leave a podcast review. This is from Paul in the UK. He says, Tess consistently delivers fantastic value-packed content through a combination of inspiring guests and her own significant expertise in the arena of translations and marketing. Whether you're just starting out or a seasoned professional, there is something for everyone in this podcast. Thank you very much. Thank you, Paul, for taking the time to leave the review. Anyone can leave a review. I will put links to this and a short video maybe on how to do this in the show notes too, marketingtipsfortranslators.com. If you like the episode, you can also there share it with other colleagues and listeners. So thank you for listening. Thank you again to Nina. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you for the invitation.
And we will see you all in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Marketing Tips for Translators. I hope you found some good tips to apply to your freelance career. If you did, a great way to show this is by leaving a review on your favorite podcast listening app, or to share the episode with other colleagues. Do you have a topic, question, or a guest you would like to hear about here? Send me an email to podcast@marketingtipsfortranslators.com.